Bible this morning to the book of Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Beginning at verse 20 of Matthew chapter 11. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Notice that now. Woe to thee, Chorazin! Woe to thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Listen to what he's saying now. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Boy, I tell you what, now that's some tough talk right there. You know, the modern day people need to read that and think about that too. They really had. Jesus said it would be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for the city that rejected the message of salvation. He'd been preaching up around the upper part of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. He'd been preaching in these cities. And they didn't respond. Now Sodom, he didn't go preaching Sodom back in the days of Noah, back in the days of Lot. But he said Sodom will fare better in the day of judgment than for these cities where he went and preached. Now there's a message in that for America. This country has had the preaching of God's word like no other country ever has.
That's the truth.
So who do you think is going to be judged the sorest or the most severely? It's going to be this country, because the more opportunity you have, the greater the judgment. The greater its judgments. It was bad enough for the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida, as there had been mighty works done in them, and they had not listened. And the Lord said, if the works of power had been taken place in you, had taken place in Tyre and Sidon, they had long ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. You know what that tells me? That tells me that people in China, North Korea, Japan, Russia, Africa, if a lot of those places that hadn't had access to the Bible could have had it like us, they would have repented. It's going to be a sad day one day, folks. It's going to be a sad day one day. Israel was more guilty than the heathen in this. Because back in the day of Israel, they had a knowledge of God. God had chosen them to be his own special people. You know, it's a blessed feeling to feel special, isn't it? We're special because we're saved. Israel was God's special people, but Israel was not living for God like they should have been. Are we? Are we? The heathen had never listened to such a testimony as Israel had. And to refuse the word of God is to be exposed to the judgment of God. It shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you, God is saying to Israel. Then Jesus speaks of another tragedy. Turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 13. The Gospel of Luke chapter 13. Jesus deals with another similar type situation. And the message is still the same. And the message is the same today for us. In Luke 13, beginning at verse 5, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye all these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they were killed? Because they suffered such things? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now those people that got killed by this madman, you think they were the worst sinners in Las Vegas that night? No. They were not the worst. But they got killed. Everyone is going to be judged according to how much light or opportunity they've had. You know, that makes me tremble. Think about, I was raised in a Christian home. Went to church every Sunday. I've never missed very many Sundays of church in my whole life. Even in the Army, we always had chapel or someone spoke to us on Sunday. For example, the people of America will be more strictly judged than those of North Korea or China or Russia or other countries. Our judgment will be much more severe. Jesus assured them that it was not right to draw such conclusions respecting these men. The fact that men come to a sudden and violent death is not proof that they were more wicked than some other people. You can think about people living today that's lived a wicked life, and they're still living, still getting by. And then you can think of some people that love the Lord and they died young. We had 9/11, in which nearly 3,000 people were killed. We had Katrina, when hundreds were killed by the floodwaters of that hurricane. We've had recently had Houston, the great flood in Texas, even in our country, with great destruction of property and lives. I've never seen so much water in my life in a flood like Houston, Texas had. Then we had Hurricane Irma, and then that struck the Caribbean in Florida and brought great destruction. This was followed by Hurricane Maria that struck Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, totally destroying their electrical grid, roads, bridges, and houses. And in those Puerto Rico and in the Virgin Islands, it'll probably be a year before they get all their electrical going and their roads. That's how devastated that last hurricane was to them, because they got hit twice with two hurricanes. And that last, and the wind at places was 200 miles an hour. I drove a school bus in Hurricane Hazel, and the winds was 100 miles an hour. And that old Dodge would hardly go in first gear. You think about 200 miles an hour. All these people were gathered together having a good time in Los Angeles. When this man began shooting, killing 58 and wounding nearly 500 others. They were all having a good time. They did not know the man who shot them. Yet they were gunned down. Why? That's the question in everybody's mind. Why would someone do such a tragic act? Why? Why would this evil man commit such a crime? He had no criminal record. They can't find a thing wrong with his past life of 64 years. What's going on with him? Let me tell you about the ignored one that nobody's talking about. The one that nobody is even mentioning. Has anyone ever heard of the devil? You know what the closest thing they say about this man? He might have had a mental disorder. What about a devil disorder? That was the works of the devil, folks. No one, and I mean no one, is mentioning the devil's role in all of this. The closest thing they say is he was evil. Of course the devil's evil, folks. The Bible tells us the devil looks out for someone to pick out to use to carry out his dastardly deeds. Peter said in 1 Peter 5, out, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may destroy. The devil's on the lookout to find someone he can use. The devil looks for people, and he can find someone. A 64-year-old man who is a millionaire and no criminal record, known as a professional gambler, no religious or political association. Were these people who were shot or killed more wicked than other people in other places? No. Yet they were killed. But there is an interesting connection between the cities struck by the hurricanes and the shootings in Las Vegas, listen to me. And that is the amount of sin concentrated in those places. Even Los Angeles is sometimes called Sin City. That does not mean they were the worst places of sin. But sin always brings judgment. In each of these cities and places, there is one common denominator. Every one of them is known for their night life. And that's what I'm talking about today. The night life. Wonder how many spent the night at the fair and couldn't go to church today. Wonder how many was in the bar rooms and other places that can stay up all night. These cities and places are centers where fulfilling the lust of the flesh is the goal. Did you know a lot of people, when they've got to be transferred from one job to another, or they're looking for another job, they'll check out certain cities or towns to see what they got for entertainment at night. They're not going to go to a place where there's not entertainment, for the nightlife. Partying, drinking, gambling, illicit sex activities, all for the good time crowd. And our nation has gone mad with such. We're gone mad with such. People congregate in those places that offer them what they want. What do you want? What are you looking for in Lumberton? What are you looking for in Fayetteville? That's also Sin City. Boy, they some rough joints. We already been talking about it in our church this morning. No fear of God. People have no fear of God. People have no interest in their own soul. What's going to happen to them? They're caught up with what's going on right now that I can enjoy. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not wanted in those places. The lights are dim, and smoke is in the air. The glasses are filled with hard drinks. They're living it up. Aren't we having a good time? No one is thinking that God is the giver of life and has a life plan for each and every one of them. People don't even think about God's plan for their life. These people who were either killed or injured were not the most wicked people in town that night, were they prepared for what was going on? Do you think anyone in that whole 22,000 people, any one of them thought there was going to be a shooting that night? Are you prepared for what might happen to you at any time? Suppose I'm standing here and all of a sudden you're sitting here looking at me. There's the preacher. And I suddenly walked out there. Bam! People better be prepared. People better be prepared. The Bible over and over warns, be prepared to die at any time. We're not promised one more second. We only have now. We're all alive now, and living here is at the pleasure of Almighty God. At His will we live here, and for how long is His decision. Now, we feel safe in here, don't we? Those 22,000 people felt safe, too. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. God can allow us to be called out at any time by any means. In Mexico recently, an earthquake shook that country and many people were killed. Life was going on as usual, but suddenly the buildings began to shake and come apart. And life for many was forever changed. There's no telling how many people died. And it took them a long time because they were buried alive. Were these people ready to die in Mexico? Were these people ready to lose their loved ones? Were these people living in fear of God? Only God knows these questions. But our point is, we only have this moment that we're here. We don't have the promise of any more time. My point is, we should not be shocked when people die. You may go home and get a call, so-and-so's died. Don't be shocked. Death's all around us. 6,316 is going to be dead in the next hour. Every hour, 6,316 die every hour. Two die every second. Think about why you're sitting here, every second ticks off, two die somewhere. People can die 1,000 different ways. People can die at any place, at any time. You can die in church, can't you? You remember that man went down to South Carolina, Charleston, killed all those people in church. After he had sat there and listened to the lesson. What so many people lose sight of is appointment that we all have. We all have this appointment. It's appointed unto men once to die. Got to die one time, and then the judgment. What is missing with people in general is they're not preparing to die at any time. Everywhere we look, people is preparing to live, aren't they? I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go there. Instead, people are preparing to have a good time, doing what they want to do to satisfy the flesh in the here and the now. For most people, where will they spend eternity is not on their mind at all. Sometime later, I'll get ready. You might not have sometime later. For most people, where they spend eternity is not their mind. It's not even important to many people. Not even important. I'll deal with that later. You sure will. Why are people not concerned about their relationship with God and their soul? Why are they not concerned? The Bible gives us the answer as to why people don't care about their soul. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to those that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the gospel, the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I better not get saved because I can't have no more fun. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Ain't nobody nowhere in the world right now having more fun than me. Amen? Are you having fun? Being where God wanted you to be at? Are you content? Are you satisfied? Coming to worship a holy God? There ain't nobody more happy than me. I'm satisfied. I'm disappointed. I'm greatly disappointed. But I'm happy. I'm where I'm supposed to be at, doing what I'm supposed to be doing. In Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. This is the problem with the world about us today. They're deceived. A deceived person, I've told y'all many times, don't know they're deceived. Jehovah Witnesses don't know they're deceived. Mormons don't know they're deceived. Buddhas don't know they're deceived. The lost man doesn't think he's deceived. I went to school. I got a doctorate degree. Makes no difference. You can still be deceived. God has given all of us one opportunity to prepare for eternity. It's while we're here now. You know what, church? Eternity is going to be a long time. Did y'all know that? Do you ever think about eternity is going to be forever? Now, I've been hanging around here for quite a few years. But you know what? I can just about see the end. But in eternity, there's no end, brother. And I don't even have to look for an end to come up because it's not going to be an end. Amen? The opportunity in this life has no promises of tomorrow. We all have only now to get ready. Now we can get ready to meet our Maker. Now is the sure time to get ready, not in 5 minutes or tomorrow. I've done it. I'll wait the next week. I'll wait the next Sunday. You ever did that? I bet you have. I don't feel like it today. Yeah, that's a favorite saying. But today is the day, the Lord says. Today's the day. There will not be any second chances after death comes. I plan to get saved will not be accepted before God. Oh, I was going to get saved. Too bad. You should have been saved. At the concert, the people were having an exciting time listening to the music. But suddenly shots rang out and people were, they were dead on their feet before their body ever hit the ground. They died that quick, some of them. You know, the same thing happened when they dropped a bomb over in Japan. Those people died and didn't even know they were dead. They died so fast. I've read where their skeletons still stood there momentarily, all flesh cooked off, and then their bones crumbled to the ground. But they had already been dead. Same thing happened at that shooting the other night. They were dead before they hit the ground, some of them. You can die fast. They died, didn't even know they were dead. The lights just suddenly went out. That's how fast death can come, folks. Others were injured while panic gripped the frightening crowd. When it's your time to die, you cannot get away from it, no matter how fast you run. Did you know that? Now, them people come rushing out. They thought they got away from death. They haven't got away from death. Death's still waiting for them. And at the right time, it's going to get them. They just want their time. It was other people's time. No doctor, no medicine, no first responder, no prayer can keep you from dying at your time. You cannot outrun death. The Grim Reaper will get you on time no matter what you may do. The only important remedy is to be ready lest you die and go to hell. People who go to hell do not get out. Once you get there, your fate's decided forever. Can you imagine what people who die lost must feel like when they wake up in hell? Think about that shooter himself. He went on this shooting spree, then he kills himself. And where does he find himself after he shoots himself? But he can't get out now. He can't undo what he did. It's final. It's settled. People in hell want to get out, but it's too late. Deceived too long. Have you prepared to die in the next minute? Better stop and think about it. You could be dead in the next minute. 105 will die in 1 minute. This life is not given to us to have a good time, but for sinners to get ready to spend eternity in heaven. This is a proving ground, we might say, this world. God has given mankind a chance to prepare to where they want to live at forever. And people live here like they think they're going to live here forever. God has given people ample time to repent of their sin and trust Jesus as their Savior. Listen to what Jesus said in John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Already condemned. There's not going to be a time when you go to meet God and it's going to be decided by how good you lived or what you've done to decide if you get to go to heaven. That's not what's going to be the issue. The issue is, what have you done with Jesus Christ? What have you done with Jesus Christ? Second Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The day for those that's not saved. Probably here today, every one of us in here have been saved, as far as I know. And so am I wasting my time today? Hopefully not. Hopefully you can carry the message with you to others. Today's the time to get saved. Today's the opportunity God has given you to get saved. Because death is coming. You don't know when or how, but it's coming. The life God has given us now will be most rewarding if we will live the way God tells us to live. I often read of testimonies of people that hit rock bottom before they finally cry out to God and He changes their life. Yeah. I'm thinking about the country singer that wasted his life. They called him Possum. I can't even, George Jones. They called him the Possum sometimes. But Jones lived a carefree life. But close to the end of his life, he finally got saved. Glenn Campbell did the same thing. They get on drugs, alcohol, illicit sex, wasting their lives. And they many times go down to the very bottom of life before they finally realize there's something better than this. There's something better. I'm glad I never turned to drugs and alcohol. Thank God. But it's good at least when they hit bottom, they will call on the Lord, isn't it? Because a lot of people, they don't. How many famous people do we know about that's died on an overdose? These so-called stars, they've died on an overdose. Famous people, important people. But they lost it all. They lost it all. Living like we want to live will rob us of the best of life. We better live like God wants us to live, to have the best life. Meaning and purpose and peace are not found in a bottle or a pill, but in Jesus Christ, church. Neither will it be found in riches, power, or things. Real life is only in our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I found that out. I was saved when I was 14. But I had a lot to learn between there and my late 20s. I didn't know you could know God when I was 14 like I can today. I didn't understand. I didn't know that. When I accepted Christ, nobody didn't tell me anything. Just to go to church. I'm not blaming them. They were probably raised the same way. But the thing about it, when I got saved, the Lord was with me and kept working in my life. And the troubles and the trials drove me to my knees. Till God became a reality that's so great, so wonderful, so precious. I've never cared for the nightlife. Never. Even when I was young in Dayton, I made sure they were home before 11 or by 11. Because I got to go to bed at night. I'm sleepy. I've never been a night person. The first night in my life I stayed up all night was I was 16. I went to the fair at Raleigh. My first time, my last time. Don't want to never go again. I had to come home, and most of the way I had to walk home from Red Springs. When I got home, I had to go get a cotton sack and go to picking cotton. I've been up all night. I've never been up all night. I thought I'd die. I finally picked enough cotton to make a pillar, and I lay down in the field. I was murdering. I'm not a night person. I go to bed at night. Praise God. Praise God. If you call me after 9 o'clock, I'm already been in bed most nights. I'm not a night person, but I'm not complaining. Praise God. Listen, folks, live for the Lord. You might not be here next Sunday, but we love you. Because you might be with the Lord next Sunday. You just have today. Make the most of it. Love the Lord. Serve the Lord. Be a witness of the Lord. Amen? You won't ever regret it. And share that good news with other people. Because only Jesus Christ gives real life. Real life. Loving God, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for keeping us. Thank you for our opportunities. We pray for those less fortunate than ourselves. We pray, oh God, I don't know how, but God bless America. We're so rotten. We're so sin sick. To the very core, we're so rotten, oh God. Oh God, how can you bless America? We need a revival to sweep this country, Lord. We need a revival, Lord. We know only revival in the Church of Jesus Christ can have any effect on this nation that's so rotten with sin of every imagination. God, have mercy on us. We pray in our Savior's blessed saving name. Amen and amen. May God speak to hearts today. And as always, our altar is open for you to come and talk to the Lord and pour out your heart to the God that loves you. Pray for other people. Praying that God would put a greater love in my heart for the Lord and the things of the Lord. That I'd be a more holy person, a greater lover of God. Folks, we need to see where we can grow in the Lord.